evolution. You know, the world is made of people who try new ideas, and that's how we move forward. That's also the kind of inspiration we like to give to the young generation. Believe in your dreams. Try. You may fail at the beginning, but because of failures, you will learn, and that's when comes the success.
André Borsberg, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
He is attempting the first solar-powered flight around the world. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 505, up 6 and a quarter. July, 502 and 3 quarters, up 3. Soft May wheat, 468, up 2 and a quarter. July, 475 and 3 quarters, up 3. May corn, 356 and a half, down 1 and a quarter. July, 360 and a quarter, down 1 and a quarter. September, 365 down a half. 365 and a half down 1 and 3 quarters. In December is 375 and a half down 1 and a half. May beans are 978 and a half down 3. July, 970 and a quarter down 4 and 3 quarters. November, 946 and a quarter down 4 and 3 quarters. May soybean meal, 314.80 down 260. May soybean oil, 32.52 up 21. June live cattle, 151.42 and a half up 205. May feeders, 215.75 up 85. And May lean hogs, 80.50 up 65. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics out of Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Veterans Victory in Europe Day, 70th anniversary of VE Day.
Thanks so much for reminding us of that. And yes, we do have a lot to say about our freedom based on the people of previous generations.
Indeed, indeed.
Let's look at the marketplace, and let's start outside. I know we have a WASDE on Tuesday, and it's been well reported, and the market is a little choppy because of that. But I find it interesting this week that the Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen gave a pretty significant speech. And in the wake of that speech, the Treasuries went wild and the Dow Jones also went wild. How do you connect the dots?
I think the thing that the market has been under the assumption, and correctly, over the last 7-8 years since the financial crisis, Dave, has been that we will see the central banks led by the Federal Reserve in the United States do whatever it takes to keep the interest rates low, which also equates to kind of a quid pro quo, the asset markets and equities high. And so when we had Bernanke in charge, we had what became known as Helicopter Ben or the Bernanke put. It was essentially the U.S. government and the central bank would not let the asset market of the stock market portion fall because that's their put. It was essentially a put position in place by this monetary policy that they had enacted. So then when we see that this week's data of the trade deficit being the largest since 2008 and the percent increase the largest since December of 1996, and that it will probably cause a revision of the first quarter GDP to a negative number, and then we hear on Wednesday, Thursday that Chairwoman Yellen is talking about the asset prices of equities being overvalued and that the risk is high, and talking to the IMF about this no less, I think it starts to open the door up to what you and I have been talking about and what Todd and I have been talking about the possibility of a shift in asset buying and asset holdings by funds, by speculators, into maybe more commodity-driven, more into less bonds and less stocks and into other assets like cash and like commodities. And that's probably what we're starting to see. And we saw a picture of this maybe drawn, starting to be drawn a couple weeks ago when we saw the dollar break and the bond market yields start to go up. That was a key element we talked about on Commodity Week about a couple weeks ago now.
Well, if you look at corn, for example, December 376, it's down one. It's probing the downside of the October lows from last year. At some point, corn is going to be a long. I mean, so what we're looking here in relation to what you're thinking is more of a it seems to be more of a matter of timing, because at some point it's going to find the bottom of the marketplace.
It is, and I think this is where you can blend together this week's commentaries into some decent analysis. A lot of times the commentaries are very short-term plays, and the funds chop into it and eat it and then digest it, and it's off to the next thing. But we also had the United Nations FAO come out this week with their first 2015-2016 world grain estimates, and they talk specifically about exceptionally high stocks of wheat and grains and an overabundance, quote-unquote, of wheat. And so you can push these two things that we're talking about together, that maybe the commodities will do a more of a domino effect, that if we top in the dollar, we see the crude oil making highs. We saw ethanol make a six-month high in the futures market this week. Not a lot of people talking about that, though. It's more about how low the wheat has gone, how the corn can't pick it up because of planting progress and the good benign weather, El Nino 97-98. These are the things the market's talking about, because they just, I don't think, have connected the dots yet that the asset allocation shift could include the grains and will likely include the grains. And I think you're right. I think corn will be one of the first to go to the upside and be taken into consideration by investors. But I think you've got to get that low in wheat first, because the trade has got the idea correctly that the wheat controls the downside potential and really tends to put the low in for the corn market when you're talking about major trend shifts of 2, 3, 4 years.
And often that key wheat turn is about, what, 6 months ahead of the corn?
You know, it differs. I mean, in the futures market, the study I've done, you know, maybe in the cash market it may be longer out, but in the futures market, the study I've done, especially when you're talking about carving out lows, it's usually about 20 to 30 days after the major wheat low is put in place that the lead month corn futures reacts pretty nicely. And that's not always the case, but it tends to be the case going back the last 15 or so years.
So the question is, fundamentally, what will put the low in the wheat market?
Well, this goes back to the 2010 model year, and when I went back and looked at what happened in 2010 to cause a low in June and to get off the bottom in July and really launch the grains higher into the market year ending and into the fall time period with not really looking back much, it was the wheat market. It was the fact that, in part, the world wheat ending stocks was taken down by about 10% from June to August. And essentially, we went from ending stocks in the world wheat of the mid to low 190s, essentially right where we're at right now, down into below the 180 level. And that seemed to be enough to trigger the idea that we've been talking about for almost 3 years now, Dave, since the drought of 2012. Trigger the idea is supply falling faster than demand. And once you get that as a yes in your marketing plan, and the trade buys into that, and a lot of that has to do with that U.S. dollar and the export market, then you can start saying, okay, we've got a scenario now where the market can find its bottom because the end user is probably going to extend his needs. And so you have a spiral, a positive spiral or a positive self-reinforcing type circle that starts to work on itself, as opposed to this negative spiral or negative self-reinforcing circle since we've been in the market and in the environment where supply is growing bigger than demand.
Did coarse grain stocks also fall in 2010 on that wheat bump?
Not initially. They started to later, but not initially. I think it was mainly the U.S. ending stocks started to fall after the world wheat ending stocks started to fall, if memory serves me. And this goes back to a little bit of a weather play. And then we had the Russian dilemma and the Russian crop problems that started to really, you know, kick into higher gear the strength of the market. And I don't know if we can do what we did, because we went up to a very substantial price rally in both Nov beans and Dease corn after the June time period in 2010. I don't know if we can do that again, but I guess what I'm looking for is a point where the low is in place and we have minimal downside, and therefore we don't have as much risk as we go into the harvest time period. And goodness knows, I've heard from a lot of producers and a lot of media people ask the question, why would producers plant more corn this year than beans? And I think part of the reason is because they expect the corn prices to be better at the end of the year than the bean prices.
All right.
And many analysts, including myself, are forecasting that.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Nice conversation.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.